Hi, travelers. Kevin here. And believe it or not, we are cruising towards the end of the Juno and Second Citadel series, which is wild. That's a lot to wrap my head around. Hopefully it's not news to you that this is the final season of Juno and Second Citadel, but if it is, welcome. We only have a few stories left. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to sort of give you a broad outline of what the release schedule for those stories will be. If you are subscribed to our online newsletter, which is on Patreon, this is all going to be repeat information. If you're not subscribed to our online newsletter, why not? It's free. Just head on over to patreon.com/thepenumbrapodcast. You can join, you can follow us for free. And every other week or so, you will get access to a traveler's log, a newsletter where we update you on news. And Harley and I write a little thing about our creative process each time. And we give you recommendations for things we've been watching, reading, playing. You get some recommendations from the cast and crew. It's a great time. And especially where these shows are coming to a close fairly soon. If you want updates on what we're planning next, what we're going to do next, because we are not disappearing off the face of the planet. At least it's not on my schedule. I'm not planning on disappearing off the face of the planet. The best way to do that is to follow us over there, because we will keep you updated every step of the way. So if you are mourning, like I am, the endings of these shows, and you are looking forward to the next thing, make sure you go on over to patreon.com/thepenumbrapodcast. Join us for free. That's enough hemming and or hawing, though. Let's jump into it. Let's talk about the release schedule for the rest of the season. So these are broad dates. Over the course of April to May, you can expect the next Second Citadel story, The Fall, parts 1 and 2. From May to June, you can expect another Juno story. I'm not going to give you the title yet. You're going to have to be patient. Then from June to July will be the Second Citadel finale. And the end of July / early August will be the Juno Steel finale. That is how close we are. We are cruising towards end of July, early August. This 8-year set of stories is coming to an end, which is wild. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. Because we are so close to the end, I do have to ask, if you have ever thought about supporting The Penumbra on Patreon, if you've ever thought about supporting us financially, if you have a friend or a family member or anybody else who has thought about supporting us financially, now's the time. It is not easy for me to ask for money. It's tough. But I do have to say our support has flagged a little bit over the course of the season on Patreon. And we are sort of right on the knife's edge of being able to continue to do this and being able to do the next things that we want to do, the next big secret projects that we want to do. We get exit surveys from Patreon that say why people have stopped pledging. And for the vast majority of everybody, it has been financial situations changing. It's a tough time to be a person right now. So really don't stretch yourself past a point that is safe for you to pledge or up your pledge. I would feel just awful if anybody did that. But if you have any spare income that you're willing to send our way, if our stories have meant something to you, if you want to show us that they've meant something to you, if you want to see the next thing that we make, now's the time. And you get access to, at this point, a frankly insane amount of bonus content. At the $7 level, you get access to all the production scripts, which are always full of bonus stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff. And at the $10 level, you get access to like hundreds of hours of commentaries at this point that range from actually serious, this is how we make the show type stuff, and extremely silly, breathing with the boys, Lord Arm fan cast type stuff. So it would just mean the world to us if you could support us and help us out. It is no exaggeration to say that the only thing that I want to do with my life is make stories, make stuff for you all to see. And that's only going to be possible if our support keeps up. And I know it's going to fall a little bit after the end of Juno and Second Citadel. So anything that you can do to show that you are going to stick with us, that you're going to help us out, will make our next project more likely, stronger, better, harder, better, faster, stronger, etc. And thank you so much. If you're already pledging, thank you so much just for listening. It's crazy that we've gotten to do this as long as we have. And I'm so, so grateful for it. That's enough of that, though. You all have a story to get to. So I will see you later. And I'll see you in not too long for the finales to these stories.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including ones that really speak to me, like Protein Plus for jocks, or Vegan and Veggie for vegetarians. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/penumbra50 and use code penumbra50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code penumbra50 at factormeals.com/penumbra50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, traveler, and welcome to the Penumbra. Tonight's tale is Juno Steel and the Terrible Waste.
No. It can't be. It's too...
Yeah, well, it is. So it sounds like we've all got to get used to that fact. Where the hell is Melee?
To think that... horrible vision I had. The dead returned to attack us, just like Dodger.
There you are. Come on, get in here, quick.
No. No.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I didn't see my dad in the crowd.
And Slip. I can't see him anywhere.
God damn it, we just saw somebody get gunned down by some kind of zombie, and that's still all you two can think about? It's hell out there. And those life-up worker things, that's what the exec called them, right? They're chasing people into their homes. Melee.
I knew it. I knew it would be bad, but I had no idea. No idea.
Hey, come on. You can lose your marbles in a minute. Right now, I need you here. Those lifer things are going to figure out that we're up here any second. Do you have any way to keep them out of here?
Right. Sorry, right. I don't think we want to be up here, actually.
Why the hell not? It seems pretty defensible to me. Only one way in. Hell, we can see the bottom of the ladder from here. If any of them try to climb up, I can just blast them right back down.
You will blast no one, Juno.
Why not?
Those are people's family. Their parents, their children, the loves of their lives. You will not just pick them off like they mean nothing.
You were standing right next to me when that woman got shot through the skull. Whatever love she felt for that life-up worker thing was not mutual.
And that gives you license to kill them all over again, does it?
You're not listening to me. The one thing every person in Vivopolis has in common is that they were willing to give up their lives for the sake of bringing back someone who died. That's real love. There's no faking it. And if that thing didn't feel any love in return, if it could just shoot her dead without a second thought...
Stop calling them things. They are people.
I don't know that they are. I don't think a person could have done something that cold without a second thought. It's time to wake up and face it, all right? Dokana didn't bring back people. They brought back workers. And that's all they're good for now, because that's what's good for the bottom line.
I don't see Slip down there. Perhaps they haven't turned him into one of them yet.
We can't stay up here.
Melee, I get it, or at least I'm trying to get it. We can't go looking for your dad while those lifers are banging down your door.
No, that's not it. Well, I mean, that's not all of it. Look, they're closing the gates to Vivopolis.
I'm afraid I don't follow your reasoning, Melee.
This isn't an invasion. It's a siege. Holding up in one spot, hiding away and letting them surround us. That's what the bosses want. If they can keep us stuck in one place long enough...
You think they're trying to starve us out?
I mean, we know where life up workers come from, don't we?
The dead? My, that's ghoulish.
But, damn it, why would they bother? They already have y'all working for them for free, don't they?
Not quite free. They have to feed us, a little. When someone gets sick, we make a stink about it until they do something.
And cutting expenses isn't everything. If these new workers don't have to sleep, they could increase their workload, so their income, hugely.
You really think that? They don't eat or sleep or get sick or anything?
Bossa said they were the launch of a new product. So as long as you're gonna design a worker anyway, why not take out the parts that cost you money?
But if they've taken all that away, what's left, really?
Well, when all this is over, we'll get one on the therapist couch and try to drill down into that answer. For now, how the hell are we going to get out of here? Because if we're going to make a move, it has to be before they pick out the best spots in town to camp out.
If we can get everyone out of Vivopolis, I think I can find a safe place for all of us to hide. The bosses don't know this junkyard as well as they think they do. They don't explore it as much as I have to. There are lots of hidden places in here. But the others in Vivopolis, they don't know yet. Most of them can't see the gates from their places. They're probably hunkering down.
And playing right into the executive's hands.
Blasting our way out is still an option. You two can climb down the ladder before me.
We are not shooting them, Juno.
They'll put it on stun. What's the big deal?
We don't know anything about what keeps them moving. Biological, mechanical, whatever else. Even the voltage from a stun blast might be enough to, you know, kill them.
Okay. So to sum all this up, we're being attacked by the recently dead. Every second counts because they're going to completely trap us in here any minute now, and I'm not allowed to use my blaster. Anybody have any more hurdles for us to jump? Because I figure we should get it all over with now while I'm limber. Well, that's something anyway. Only one thing left to do then.
Which is?
We call in the professionals. I had two professionals in mind when I picked up my comms. Well, three, actually, but... From the thin, wet feel of it in my pocket, I could tell that the Ruby still wasn't feeling ready for action. First, of course, was Rita.
Mr. Steele, I was so worried about you! How did you and Mr. N make it through all those cameras?
We didn't.
Oh.
Rita, we're gonna need you to work some of that hacker magic for us. What can you pull off from where you are?
That depends. From your comms, I should be able to access any wireless or satellite networks around you, but first I have to figure out what's there. What's the situation? What needs doing? How can a Rita help you today?
Well, we are in a city made of garbage where the dead have come back to life and they're posted with high-power blasters all over the damn place, so mostly we're looking for a way to get the hell out of here.
What? That's so cool, Mr. Steele! I am never gonna forgive you for not letting me come with you!
Yeah, you're on speaker right now, so I wouldn't say that again. Just got a couple of stairs cold enough to kill you straight through the comms.
A couple? Who else is there with you?
This is who's gonna get us out of this mess? Seriously?
Oh, who's that? She sounds pretty.
Eyes on the prize, Rita. There's a big gate leading out of town, but it's been closed on us. Finding a way to open it would probably be a good place to start.
You got it. Just put your comms down and don't touch it for 15 minutes and I'll scope out.
You got 5 minutes and also I'm going to be making another call. Good luck.
Mr. Steele!
As for expert number two, the fact was we didn't know the first goddamn thing about what we were up against. And if we were really planning on going into a fight unarmed with no idea what our enemy was... Well, it wouldn't be long before we'd be dead-eyed marching employees of the Dokana group right next to the other lifers down there. Problem was, I didn't know anybody who'd gone up against a crack squad of living dead before. So we were kind of in brand new territory here. But I did know one person who tangled with one of the dead on a daily basis, and even if his dead was less gun-toting, cold-hearted robot and more slobbering ball of excitement, it was a place to start anyway. Hey, Mick! So listen, if you had to take Wilco in a fight, how would you do it? Also, before you answer, you should know that my next question is going to be, if you had to take 50 Wilcos in a fight and they all had guns, how would you do it?
Wilco. I mean, next question?
Wait, is something wrong with Wilco?
Yeah, I mean, he's happy as ever, I think. Sometimes it's a little hard to tell without, you know, his tail, or a few of his legs, or most of his face.
Yeesh, that sounds...
tragic, heartbreaking, devastating.
I was going to say gross, but mostly all those things you said, yeah. I'm sorry, pal. So he's just, what, fallen apart?
Yeah. He was always an accident-prone little guy, but now he gets any cut or scrape and it just never goes away, you know? So he keeps getting dinged up, and there's only so much you can do with airplane glue and a really twitchy dog. It was his time, I guess. Years ago. And now it's his time again, so, you know, hard to get too upset about that. Don't count all the crying. I'm basically fine.
Juno, you done yet? They're starting to beat down the door to my place.
Mick, I'm really sorry to hear all that, but I have to go.
And it's so tough because he's still the same Wilco inside, you know what I mean? Still loves to fetch, even if he can only fetch a few inches now. Doesn't eat anymore, but he loves food, even though he just spits it all back out. And he does this cute thing where if you flick the lights on and off, he starts dancing. Which he never did the first time he was alive, but it's great that he's picking up new hobbies in his old age, you know what I mean?
Juno!
Sorry about your dead dog, Mick. I gotta go. Bye. That got kind of intense.
So, did you learn anything we can use?
I had, actually. But I knew I couldn't share it. If watching Wilco fall apart had that much of an effect on Mick, how the hell would Melee feel watching her dad fall to pieces, or Nerea watching slip? It would be too much for them to take, but it was maybe the only advantage we had against those life-up workers surrounding us. So I said, Melee, can you put together some stuff we can use to fight him hand-to-hand? Even if we're not going to shoot him, we're going to need to disarm him.
Sure. Fine.
And then called Rita back up for the final say on whether she could get us the hell out of here. Well, Rita, what do you got for us?
You remember what Captain A used to say about a hidden safe being easier to crack than one that's out in the open?
Sure, if it's hidden, hiding is part of the security system. People are only going to spend the big creds on a security system for a safe that people might actually get to crack.
Right, well, I'm thinking those Takana guys thought their system was hidden enough in that trash ball that they wouldn't have to protect it very much. I got into their wireless systems pretty quick, and now all Rita's running the place. That's the good news.
And the bad news?
Whoever said anything about bad news?
Nobody ever specifies that there's good news unless there's also bad news. That's why there's no such thing as good news in a spill.
The bad news is that there's two bad newses. First, I don't recognize most of what's on this network, but there ain't nothing that looks like a door or a gate. I wouldn't be surprised if they're using analog locks and keys around that place, and there ain't much I can do about those.
That would make sense. They chained us up with an analog lock, after all.
And bad news number two, there are a few things I recognize here, but I only recognize them from the Takana offices on Amon. Well, I think they're the medical machines that are keeping Mr. Jackson and all of them alive, and that means I can't do what I usually do, like back in the zero-gravity playroom.
Because what you usually do is experiment turning things on and off until you've got the place figured out, but you do that here, you might kill somebody.
Well, it makes sense that the gate's not on the boss's network. I wired the gate myself, along with most of the electrical in Vavopolis.
So it's on a completely separate network.
But that network ain't wireless, I'll tell you that much, because if it was, I could see it.
Of course it's not wireless. Then the bosses could peek in whenever they wanted to. But the main computer that controls it all is on the other side of Vavopolis. We'd be fried long before we got there.
We don't need the main computer necessarily, we just need any kind of uplink to a system connected to it, and I can do the rest.
In that case, there might be something in my place. A water recycling system uses the main computer's processing power to run its chemical analysis.
As in the room we're in right now?
Do you see a toilet, old-timer? This is my workshop, not my place. My place is at the bottom of the ladder.
And thus swarmed with life-up workers. Lovely.
Rita, there's no way to open the gate without that uplink?
Not unless you got some magic handy, which would be really super cool, but if you do, I'm mad because you ain't never told me you had magic before, and that really seems like the kind of thing a friend is supposed to tell you, you know?
Only magic I can think of is just a weird puddle in my pocket right now, so that's a no-go.
Wait, what?
Sounds like we got no choice other than going down there and fighting them ourselves. And the sooner the better, before they figure out what we're up to.
No, seriously, what did any of that even mean?
We'd best prepare now, or we'll be here all day. Melee, what would you recommend we use to defend ourselves?
Melee had plenty of junk scattered around that workshop, so it didn't take long to find a couple of things we could use as weapons. A couple of short metal pipes for Nerea, a flat sheet of metal like a shield for me, a long iron rebar club for Melee. We looked less like we were prepped for battle and more like we were prepped to play pretend in the backyard, but it was the best we had.
Remember, we're only using these to keep them away from us. Protect yourself and knock the blasters out of their hands if you can. But any damage to the brain or major organs...
You mean the organs we don't even know if they're using?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know, and we're not gonna find out by killing them. So just be gentle, all right?
Yeah, cool, sure. I'll be gentle with the killer corpses. Real cool.
Well, let's get this over with.
I did my best not to look down at Vavopoulos as we descended the long ladder to Melee's place. It wasn't just that the height made my brains do backflips. It was the fact that I knew the slower we went, or the louder we went, the more likely it was that someone would notice us as we climbed down. They sent me down the ladder first, supposedly because I had the best tool for protection against laser blasts, but hell, it's not like it was the first time I was forced to take the lead in a death march. It just comes with the territory of being so naturally charming and likable.
Well, Juno, is there any sign of the life-up workers down there?
Not sure. Kind of hard to see with this big chunk of metal. Ah! Never mind, I found one.
Juno, look out!
Once the stars cleared from my eyes, I saw a man with white hair and a white stare standing over me, pointing a blaster straight into my face. I swung my scrap shield in front of me, but turns out I didn't need it because someone else was quicker.
He dropped his blaster! Grab it!
On it!
Well, that's one down. Only, well, five to go.
Push them out of here and lock the door. That'll trap the one I knocked out.
And then what are we supposed to do? Take each of their blasters one by one and just, like, stuff them in our pockets?
Yes.
Those life-up workers were fast. But Nureyev and Melee were faster. In a flash, Nureyev had used each of his metal pipes to whack a pistol-toting wrist, and Melee had pushed two of the lifers so far off balance that the one shot they did get off only poked a hole in the ceiling. Two for Nureyev and two for Melee left one for me, and luckily my shield was thick and reflective enough that its laser shots could only give me a high-temperature haircut. But unlike Nureyev's sticks and Melee's club, a shield's not much of a weapon, and I could only keep my defenses up so long before those dead hands reached me. Guys, a little help here.
Kind of busy.
You'll have to find a way to take care of that one on your own, Juno.
Meanwhile, the life-up drone assigned as my dance partner was laying in on the trigger too fast and too hard for me to fight back. It stepped closer and closer until I could see its fingers crest over the top of my scrap metal shield. And that's when I knew I had no choice but to do something really, really gross. It had to do with what Mick told me about Wilco. If these lifers were anything like him, they weren't held together by anything more than years dead flesh and maybe some glue. So when I saw that hand reach over to grab my shield, I grabbed its wrist instead, and I pulled.
Hey, Juno. You're gonna find that guy, or... Are you gonna just keep shaking his hand?
That's not right. His arm was supposed to come off.
His arm was what?
The thing that shocked me most was how that life-up worker's wrist felt in my hand. Wilco moved around a lot, but when you touched him, well, he was clearly dead. Cold to the touch, hair and skin not anchored on quite right. The wrist I'd grabbed wasn't like that. It was warm and soft. I could feel the blood rushing through the veins. It was alive.
Damn it! Keep an eye on his gun!
While I was puzzling over that, the lifer clearly saw that it didn't need to take my shield anymore. It already had the angle it needed. The barrel of a blaster had crept around the side of my protection, angled somewhere near my guts, and if I didn't find a way to stop it, it was going to stop my heart. I couldn't retreat. My back was up against the door we'd locked the first dead guy behind. Melee was taking up space to my left and Nureyev to my right. So I stabilized my shield with both hands and charged in the only direction I had left, straight forward, into the worker drone, trying to kill me.
Juno, what on earth are you doing?
I don't know, but it looks like it worked. Maybe. Come on out of there, you... whatever the hell you are. You and I both know that wasn't enough to kill you. But the life-up drone didn't come out. In my big tackle rush, I'd pushed it backwards clean across the room and through the doorway into a closet so dark I couldn't see the opposite end of it. That meant I couldn't see the walking corpse, either. It was lurking in there, waiting for me to follow, and I didn't know which would be worse. Going after it, or turning my back to the closet and letting it come after me. I kept my shield up and took a few steps in, until my foot kicked up against something and I jerked it back, so terrified by the feeling that I swore I could feel fingers closing around my ankle. But nothing came. So I kicked it again. And again. Nothing and nothing. But the lifer couldn't have just been sitting in there. Could it?
Are you all right back there, Juno?
Yeah. Hey, Melee, you got a light switch for this closet?
If you've got time to ask that, you've got time to help us with these people.
Never mind, I think I found it.
Damn it, would you tell him to stop playing with the lights and help us?
Juno!
We have to turn off the lights.
What?
God damn it, I'll just show you.
The hell are you doing? Do you know how hard it is to find a light bulb that isn't burned out in this junkyard?
But Melee, look. The Life Up workers. They've stopped moving.
Why would they stop moving in the dark?
Maybe the better question is, what makes them move at all in the first place?
What are you doing, Juno?
Testing an idea. You there, Rita?
Sure am, but it doesn't look like you plugged into nothing yet. Do you need me to teach you which end is the plug end again, Mr. Steele?
No, just... You said you could intercept any wireless network, but anything on that network would have to have something that connects it to the network, right?
You mean like a receiver?
Yeah, that.
Be careful so close to that life-up worker, Juno.
Rita, is it possible for you to check if there are any of those receiver things near my comms right now?
Well, maybe if I... Okay, I got it. I don't see any receivers nearby, though.
And if there are no receivers inside the workers, how the hell are the executives controlling them? That is the question.
And you think this has something to do with the lights?
Of course.
Of course what?
The lights in Vopolis are always flickering. I told you that already. But if the bosses took control of the lights, somehow made them flicker in certain patterns, patterns pre-programmed to make the life-up workers behave in certain ways...
They could control the entire group without us ever learning how.
So if we shut down the lights, we shut down the workers.
Water recycler with the network hookup is this way. Come on!
It was a strange experience, huddling around a toilet with my comms out, waiting to see if Rita could hack our way out of Evopolis. And even if she could... Hell, I didn't know what the plan was after that. Nureyev wasn't going to leave without Slip, and that was for sure. But where the hell were they keeping him? And would he be dragging him out by the hand, or by a body bag?
I didn't catch your name, by the way.
You didn't throw it. It's a long story.
Well, whatever your name is, Slip's the name of the guy you're looking for, right?
It is.
And once you find him, what then? I'm in the same boat as you. I keep wondering if, I don't know, there's a way to reverse what the bosses did to them.
Kill them again, you mean?
It can't be over. After everything I've done, all the years I've spent here, they can't just be gone. You know what I mean?
Juno, what did you mean when you said that the Life Up worker's arm was supposed to come off?
You know, it's kind of like...
I won't be angry. You can tell me.
I know someone who bought a kind of prototype of the life-up tech they're using in here. It was a dog, not a person.
But it worked.
Kinda. But his dog doesn't stay, you know, put together. Cuts and scrapes don't heal, bones don't mend, nothing. So over time, he's just fallen apart.
Grandpappy's recipe...
What?
It was one of the things I stole for the executives. Regenerating cell technology. They must have applied it to these life-up workers so that they don't suffer the same fate as that dog. I'm the reason these workers are so powerful. Anyone who dies here today, it's my fault.
Come on, you can't put that on yourself.
Mine too.
What?
We didn't know. The bosses had us so convinced we were doing a good thing. A selfless thing. And maybe it was selfless, but it wasn't helping the people we thought it would. It was just helping line their pockets.
Look, I'm just gonna say this once because I think I know how well it's gonna go over.
Juno?
We can still get out of here. salvage the people in Vivopolis we can, hide out till the Ruby 7 recovers, then cut our losses and go. It's an option, is all I'm saying. Well?
I can't leave without him.
Nor I him.
Yeah, figured. Yeah, Rita? Tell me you've got what we need so we can get out of this hellhole.
I'm sorry, Mr. Steele, but I checked everything this network's connected to, and I can't find anything that looks like a big gate or a lighting system.
What? But that can't be right. I wired them myself. I know they're connected.
Well, I did find a few kind of loose ends here and there. Spots with incomplete data strings, like a connection had been severed somewhere.
Then the executives must have beaten us to this line of reasoning. To ensure that nobody could deactivate the workers or escape Vivopolis, they've disconnected you from the system.
Didn't you say it was all controlled by a main computer somewhere, though? They couldn't have disconnected that, could they?
Not without rewriting the system from scratch. And I think... I mean, I hope I noticed that. Oh, damn it! How long have they been planning this? How many creds have we been making them while they've just been planning to kill us?
I think upgrade is the term they'd likely use.
And it sounds like we need to get to the central computer, then. Think you can lead us there in the dark, Melee?
But, Mrs. Steele, I just said I couldn't access the lighting system either.
More than one way to unscrew a light bulb? What do you say? Now do I get to use my blaster?
Yes, Juno. Now you get to use your blaster.
About goddamn time!
You're going to shoot out the lights. The ceiling they're mounted into must be 300 yards above us.
Is that all? Just watch me. Listen... No matter the occasion, I am always ready to sharpen the old sharpshooting skills.
All right, old-timer. That was pretty good.
Well, now you've encouraged him. May the consequences be on your head.
Was it just me, or was Nureyev smiling a little when he said that? Whatever. Not the time to think about that. Melee got us a light to guide our way forward, but we had to be careful with it. Killing the flickering lights had knocked the lifers out cold, but just a flash from our beacon and they'd shudder to life all over again. Not that they'd always attack us, mind you. Whatever system the executives had implanted in them that gave them commands through flashing lights must have been sophisticated. Because depending on how we illuminated them, they did just about everything. One crawled at us using a leg, a hand, and their goddamn head to push them forward through the junk. One made quick, jittery motions with its torso like a puppet on tangled strings. One twisted and contorted itself like hell's own pretzel. In a way, the ones that didn't attack us felt worse to look at, because then you could get a real look at them. You could remember that their faces used to hold emotion, that there were people down here that had spent years toiling just to see those faces again. Anyway, our strategy of shooting the lights out and creeping our way forward worked pretty damn well. Until we got to the central computer, that is. It was held inside a scrap iron brick of a building 2 stories tall, at least. And the building was well lit on the inside, but I couldn't get a good angle on any of the lights from the outside.
In there?
In there.
Jeez. Couldn't have just kept the main computer in your place?
Would you want people banging down your door in the middle of the night every time their toilet stops working?
That's fair, I guess. It doesn't explain how the hell we're going to get in there without getting perforated, though.
That, I believe, is my specialty. Melee, where in this building is the central computer kept?
2nd floor, right up by the window. But it locks from the inside, and it's going to make a lot of noise if you try to break it.
We won't need to break it. Stand back.
Then, from one of his many pockets, Nureyev pulled out a tool I'd only seen him use a few times before. A thing that looked like a little plasma penknife on the end of a long cord. He activated the blade, spun it at his side, then launched it up towards the window above us. It cut into the wall, and then 4 plasma-tipped metal anchors sprung from the sides of the penknife and anchored themselves in the iron wall, melting it and welding it to the tool in a second. Then he tested the cord with his weight and began to climb. It was so different from how he'd looked on the surface of the trash ball, but so like the Nureyev I had known from our year working with the Urenkos. Hell, from the Nureyev I knew from tangling with Miasma back in the Martian tomb. There was a quick sureness to his emotions now that had been missing for a while. I wondered what that meant and mourned the fact that I'd probably never get to know.
Juno? You coming?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't need to see Nureyev to know what he was doing up there. If the lock was digital, he'd probably use a short-range wireless transmitter to blitz the lock and fry it from the outside. If it was mechanical, maybe some kind of jimmy to crack the window open, then a long, thin wedge to turn the catch from the other side. either way, he got the damn thing open. Then he looked down at me and Melee, motioned for us to wait a moment, and crawled in the window. So we waited. And we waited.
Sure is taking his time, isn't he?
I think we have to follow him.
You know this is a trap, right?
Yeah. You can stay here if you want.
Wish I could. You or me first.
You're holding our only source of light, so I think it's gotta be me. Here goes nothing. I was halfway up the rope when something strange happened through that window above us. The lights flickered off.
Huh. Do you think... does that mean he deactivated the lights?
We won't know until...
Juno. Hey, old-timer. You all right?
Yeah. Yeah, just a headache or something. I'll keep moving. The window was hanging open, creaking in its frame as I climbed up beside it. I couldn't make out a goddamn thing in the darkness, and my ears were strained so far they were playing tricks on me. Was that the breath of a lifer, or the hiss of air filtration units? I didn't know. I didn't know. Hey! Hey, you in there?
Anything?
No. I'm going in. Hey! Come on, this isn't funny.
I am no expert in humor, but I would argue that this is very funny indeed. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha.
The lights flickered back on, and when I got a good picture of what was going on, well, it sure wasn't good. One of those executives had Nureyev in an iron grip, one hand locked tight over Nureyev's mouth, the other holding a strange device bound with snake-like coils to the sputtering computer in the back of the room. And surrounding us, of course, were the lifers, juddering to life as the lights reawakened them. The executive pressed a button on that device. The lights flickered in a quick, controlled pattern. When I realized what was happening, I went for my blaster, but I was too late. Two sets of strong arms grabbed mine, sending my blaster clattering across the floor towards the window.
Well, it seems I've caught two very useful rats in this trap. Long-standing contractor Peter Nureyev, and precisely the person we've been looking for.
Me? What the hell are you talking about?
Likely three rats, come to think of it. And that's not even including the woman I know you came here with. Melee, I think it's time for you to join us. We have someone here who would like to speak with you.
You're talking to yourself. It's just the two of us here. Now tell me—
I don't think you understand how we've prepared for this product launch, Mr. Steele. We've been keeping a close eye on Vivopolis for some time now. We know how integral Melee is to the workings of this place. You and Mr. Nureyev may have been a pleasant surprise, but her? We suspected we would meet her here all along. Now come in here, Melee. Your father would like to have a word with you.
One of the lifers stepped forward from the pack, a sleek metal speaker box dangling from his neck. There was no resemblance between him and Melee, not even the mirrored expressions you sometimes get between people who've spent a lot of time together. All that stuff, the expressions, the connection, the experience, must have died a long time ago. But I can't blame Melee for seeing those things in his face, even if they weren't really there. You want something long enough and its ghost starts to haunt you, starts to crop up wherever it hurts most.
We've been unable to develop a process to preserve the vocal cords in the life upgrade process, so we've needed to supply him with another means of speech. But this is your father, Melee, isn't it?
Dad? What did they do to you?
Melee, my girl, I'm so proud of all the work you've done for me these past 10 years. I am so proud to call you my daughter.
Dad, it was so hard. I didn't think. Sometimes I thought I'd never...
all right now. But Melee, after doing so much for the Dakana group, and after they've brought me back to you, why would you attack them like this now?
What?
We can be together again. But if you push back like this, everything you've done will be for nothing. You couldn't do that to yourself. You couldn't do that to me. Could you?
But...
Stand down, my girl. Thank the Dakana group for what they've done and they'll forgive you. And we can be together again.
There was a war going on behind Melee's eyes, and I couldn't blame her. The Dakana group's move was a little obvious, sure, but they'd stacked the deck so that obvious might be enough. You want something bad enough for long enough, and your brains will do backflips, convincing you it's exactly what you need, no matter the cost. Nureyev was watching her closely, too. It didn't take a genius to figure out what he was thinking, confronted with Melee finally getting what she wanted for so, so long.
Thank you, Dakana group.
Damn it.
Very good. Now come here.
It was nice to see the old man again. Even if just to say goodbye.
Melee was on the ground in a second. My blaster in her hand, and before the executive could do so much as twitch towards that remote he was holding, she'd sent a beam of hard light straight through the thing that used to be her father.
Melee, what are you doing?
She wasn't the best shot, but my blaster was fully charged, and she had as many lasers as she needed to get the job done. She sent one close enough to the executive's hand to startle him into dropping the remote. A few missed shots later, and she managed to crack the single dangling bulb lighting the room.
The executive is escaping. Quickly, before he gets away.
Damn it, I can't see anything. Melee, you still have that light?
Right. Yeah, I'm on it.
Damn, he's fast. He's already gone. I'll go after him. You two figure out the computer so we...
Let him go, Juno.
But he saw you. If he tells the other executives you're here...
It's all right, Juno. Let him go. It's not worth walking into another trap.
But what about Slip?
We'll still find Slip. But I won't sacrifice you in the process of finding him. Couldn't bear it. Melee, can you open the gates from here? Melee?
She was standing over the body of her father, and it's awful to say, but he looked more human that way. At peace. We let her have a few minutes just to look at him. She'd waited long enough to earn him, I thought. Melee opened the gates to Vivopolis soon after, then brought Nureyev and I back to her place.
Nobody else in town knows you two, and they're probably pretty freaked out right now. I'll have a better shot alone at convincing them to come with us, so just wait here. I'll be back soon.
We sat in the silent dark for a while before either of us managed to speak. I got the sense that Nureyev was chewing on something he should have thought about a long time ago. Hell, maybe I was doing the same. But eventually, I couldn't take the quiet anymore, and I said, Nureyev?
Hmm?
Did you notice... That executive said he was looking for me. Hell, when the guards tied us up and said the executives wanted one of us, maybe they meant... But what the hell did he mean?
I don't know, Juno. And I am very sorry I've gotten you into this mess. And sorry if I've treated you in a way that is... less than you deserve as well.
Hey, come
on. No. Frankly, I find it unforgivable. You have done a great deal to help me through this, with no benefit to yourself. And I... Well, I... It's so strange. Even after everything we've been through, I still find it so difficult to talk about my... how I feel.
It's scary. I get it. You don't have to if you don't want to.
It is frightening, yes. But that doesn't stop you. I think I respect that about you a great deal. Perhaps what I am trying to say is... I feel rather vulnerable around you. And it is a difficult... time for me to feel vulnerable. If I have taken that out on you, I am genuinely very sorry. I'm glad you're here. I don't think I could have made it through everything with Melee without you.
Happy to help. Nureyev, what are you going to do if, or I guess when, you get Slip out of here?
To tell you the truth, I haven't spared even a moment's thought for that particular question.
Yeah, future comes at you whether or not you're ready for it. I think Melee's probably dealing with that right now. Guess I'm going to have to cross that bridge pretty soon, too. Ever since Dark Matters attacked the Carte Blanche, the Ruby and I have had a pretty one-track mind. Find our family one by one and... well, you're the last one.
How does one even decide what to do with... with an entire life? I'm afraid I'm terribly out of practice.
I don't know. I guess you just... look to see if you have any unfinished business. And if you don't, you find some new business to start.
Sounds so simple when you say it that way. But then, perhaps it is simple after all. Unfinished business. Juno.
Yeah?
Hey, I've got everybody rounded up. I'm ready to go. Did I walk in on something?
Nothing.
No!
Okay. Well, thanks again for helping us out of here. I'll do whatever I can to help you with, you know, Slip.
Thank you, Melee. Well, Juno, perhaps we should go. But we can... rather, I think we should talk more later. Soon.
Right. Right. Let's go. You ever get a feeling in your guts that a plan just isn't gonna come through? When I look back, I think I had a little bit of that back in the old town days, when me and Mick and Sasha would talk about meeting up again 20, 40, 50 years later, like no time at all had passed. The future belongs to promises, and the present to reality. And sometimes, when the latter crashes up against the former, fate turns you into a liar. Nureyev and I wouldn't breach that topic again soon, is what I'm saying. There was a long, hard road we'd have to walk in the meanwhile, and a big question about who the hell we'd be when we got to the end of it. It started on our way out of Vivopolis. Melee had gathered the survivors together in a group ahead of us, and there were only a couple lights to go around, so the group had taken them. That left us, mostly, walking in the dark. In my head, there was this feeling in my head, this pain, that I couldn't pin and couldn't shake. It was the same high-pressure feeling I'd had before climbing the rope up to where the executives were.
Juno, are you all right? You're slowing down.
I mean, I think so. I don't know what would be wrong.
It's a holdup. We need to keep moving before the bosses get a read on where we are.
I don't know. It's just suddenly... it seems to be in a great deal of pain. Juno!
Maybe it's difficult to explain what that headache felt like, because it wasn't really an ache. Not a physical one. Anyway, it felt like a solid core of dread, just dense as a bullet and big as a cannonball, ready to push my skull open from the inside out. It was a feeling too big for me to hold, and it definitely felt like a feeling too big for me to have come up with. And I realized, just a second too late, that's because I hadn't come up with it. The Ruby 7 had. And then suddenly, I saw what it saw. I felt what it felt, out there in the dark, and it was a hell of a lot more than any of the rest of us were noticing.
I'll help you drag him, but we have to keep moving.
Get away.
Exactly, Juno. Just keep walking and we'll get away.
Get away from me. Now. I pushed at the one closest to me, which was Melee. But I felt as clear as if it was my own hand doing it, a molten tendril of the Ruby 7 push out of my pocket and push Nureyev away from me too. Half a second later and we would have been too late. For them. I mean, we were already too late for me. Or for the Ruby.
Fire the stun net.
Juno!
We only got one of them, sir.
It's the only one we need. Signal the life up workers to take him in.
Juno, I'll get you out of there. Hold on.
I said run. Get out of here. You and Sliv, all these people, none of you stand a chance unless you move.
Juno!
I said move. Did he go? I'm not sure. It was too dark. My brain crammed full of too many volts for me to tell. And in the way that sometimes happens when you're about to lose consciousness, and trust me, I know I've been in enough knockdown, drag-out fights to have the experience, my mind was focused on one thing, and one thing only. See, the Ruby 7 was still stretched out of my pocket when that stun net hit us. It had closed over me, but only part of it. But apparently it couldn't take the strain of all that shock, because half of the Ruby 7 was still in my pocket. But I could feel the other half, writhing and twisting in pain, on the ground by Nureyev's feet.
If you've enjoyed this tale, please consider supporting the Penumbra. You can do so by buying our merchandise. Just go to thepenumbrapodcast.com and click on the store tab. You can also make a one-time donation to The Penumbra via PayPal at The Penumbra Podcast. Or, if you'd like to keep our stories running in the long term, we hope you will support us on Patreon. Every dollar helps. At just $4 per episode or higher, you will receive ad-free episodes 2 days before the public release. At the $7 level, you will gain access to behind-the-scenes content and production scripts. And at the $10 level, you will receive access to commentary tracks like this one, from actors Joshua Elon and Noah Symes, and co-creators Harley Takagi Kaner and Kevin Vibert.
Do they bite people? Do they eat people? Like, you know, mm-hmm. looking through zombie tropes. And none of that really made any sense. And it also didn't particularly make sense given what we had set up for them to be especially superpowered in any way. And so we were like, well, how are they going to kill people? And I was like, give them a gun. Give them a gun. So we gave them guns. And I find it upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. It's not.
That is scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial take. Guns, scary to me.
Right.
Yeah, give a monster a gun. Even worse.
We would like to give thanks to all who support us on Patreon, but especially to Casey, Juno Knox, Juno G, Eska, Bettina Trevino, Alim Muktadir, Brittany Potter, Sophia and Juno Adler, the Emerald Eight, this podcast, Haha, the PI, the Train, and the Knights, Mr. Me, Myself, and I, Nore, Kira, Jack M. Cohen, Girl in the Midnight Sky. Thank you, Penumbra team, for your amazing work. Braylon. Hannah and Leah's Adventures in Gender Shenanigans. The Lady Guinevere sounding off in the comments. Shelley Schrode. Kevin, please say butts on live recording, thanks. Jammy. Rachel. Osipit. Evit Kani. Diana Cause. Benjamin Fisher. SCP Chloe. Desert Willow is never going to give Juno up. Rachel Howard. June Gishoku. Skyfire Forever. The Lady has claimed another one, Jay Hull. James Evelyn. Grateful for Olala. Liv Allen. Alice the Time Lord. In Memory of Spiral Opal. Eden the Gay Bookworm. Michael David Smith. Saint Damien and the Moral Dilemma of It All. Kiki's Podcast Patronage Service. Caroline Seidman. Radius Ulna. Rain and Pippin from the Glen Dimension. Karen ZH. Genetic. Cortu, Minchowski, Ash, Jamie Gunter, B. Flanagan, and Angel Acevedo for their incredibly generous contributions per episode. Thank you. This tale, Juno Steel and the Terrible Waste, was told by the following people. Joshua Elon as Juno Steele, Noah Symes as Peter Nureyev, Kate Jones as Rita, Melody Pereira as Melee, and Stuart Evan Smith as the executives. The Penumbra is created and produced by Harley Takagi-Kaner and Kevin Vibert. If you wish to know more about the full production team, you can read about them in the show notes of this episode. I'm afraid that is our time for today, dear traveler. We hope you will join us again soon.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.